Changes in social attitudes, the law and medical technology means that more LGBT people are becoming parents. Well, being proud LGBT parents to a 22-month-old and now expecting a second child in August, Amory and I feel particularly blessed to live in a world that is diverse and wonderful. However, all parents and families face challenges, but where do you turn for advice? Well, Pride and Joy is a new book full of stories, advice, and real-life experiences from LGBT parents, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender parents and their children. Well, joining me now to discuss her book is Sarah Hager-Holt. Welcome to Global Village.
Hello, I'm really pleased to be on the show. Thank you.
Great to have you on the program. I have so many questions.
Yeah, where to begin?
I think I'm going to run out of time. I probably have to talk to you afterwards because it is uncharted territory, isn't it, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. Although it's been quite interesting. You know, there's been huge change in the last sort of even the last 5-10 years. But we spoke to LGBT parents who are now in their 70s or in their 80s and some of their children who are now in their 30s and 40s. So although it feels quite new in a lot of ways, actually, there is a bit of a history there that it's been fascinating to unearth some of those experiences of people who really were the trailblazers.
And so interesting, because I think a lot of people will be surprised that there are people in their 70s and 80s who are now, you know, LGBT grandparents or LGBT great-grandparents.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes to show that maybe what's changed now is visibility. But, you know, all throughout time, whether it's through perhaps by straight marriages in kind of previous decades, people who would now identify as LGBT have become parents and brought up children and their families have flourished. But it's now that we're really able to be proud of that and to offer that experience perhaps to other families and other parents and be able to talk about it much more freely.
And tell me, what made you and Rachel, your partner, co-author this book? Because you have children of your own, so you're busy.
Yeah, we do. We've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, so a bit older than yours, but still plenty to.
So you have time,
keep us busy.
So you have time in your hands, where we actually at the moment don't have any.
I think what we decided it's sort of had an idea, and we thought this is something that we would really like to read, because having first started thinking about our family 10 years ago, where there were very few of those visible role models, it really was, I hadn't met anyone else who was gay and was a parent until a few months before we had our older daughter, and just recognizing that a lot of those stories and those experiences just aren't necessarily available, aren't necessarily being shared, and particularly for parents as their children grow up. There might be resources and advice out there for how you start your family, but then what happens when your children hit the teenage years and get a bit older? And we really wanted to be able to not only gather and tap into that experience for ourselves, but realizing what a richness of experience there was, to be able to share that with other parents felt like such an exciting thing to be able to do.
And did you always know you wanted to be parents?
Well, Rachel, my partner, certainly did. She always wanted to be a mother, to be a parent. I didn't. I was never particularly broody. I took quite a lot of persuading to come round to the idea of parenthood. And now I'm totally sold. Now I love it. But it certainly wasn't an obvious step for me. I think partly due to being gay, but also just partly due perhaps to not having a lot of children in my life, in my family as I grew up. So not having that kind of always being surrounded by babies and young children and that kind of desire to be a parent. So we had quite different stories, as did, you know, many of the different people we interviewed to put into Pride and Joy.
I have to say, I relate to your story, Sarah, because I was the same. I wasn't really, I never thought I would be a parent, because I think I was a victim of my own self-stigma, because I came from a very religious family. And for the longest time, I put my hand up and I'd say I was one of those LGBT people who didn't think that we should have kids. And that was my own conditioning speaking, you know. And then obviously in my 30s, I realized, where is this thought coming from?
Hang on a minute.
You know, this is awful, you know. And of course, when I hit 37, the biological clock just hit me like a like a truck.
Yeah.
And then it was trying to get Amri to, you know, I always make joke that it tried to get Amri to catch that last bus because I knew I was getting older, you know. So it is a journey, and especially for us to go through all that, you know, go through all that emotional baggage, and then of course the fertility process. Oh my gosh, it just takes forever to start a family.
And I think there's something around kind of just knowing it's possible and knowing that other people have done it that is so powerful. And that was one of the things we really wanted to do with Pride and Joy. We hope that anyone who reads, if they are an LGBT parent or someone thinking about starting that journey, that they'll see a story or an experience or a bit of an advice and think, oh, yeah, that's a bit like me. And if they can do it, then this is something that is possible for me to do and to flourish and to thrive.
It's incredible because I tell you what helped me through the process and of becoming a parent was actually connecting with one lesbian family in Ireland, Muninia Griffith. Like she was the director of marriage equality, and her partner and herself have this beautiful daughter. And I was talking to her throughout the whole fertility process and hearing what's their life like. I suppose it helped. And I needed to be able to visualize it, but of course I was lucky that I knew someone. Now, what about people who might not know anyone who have children? And that's where your guide, your book really comes in handy.
And that's certainly what we wanted to do. I mean, we realise obviously now we're in a very privileged position where we're with people via Facebook in lots of different ways. But I think often there are perhaps questions or ideas that you have that maybe you're not ready to talk to somebody else about or to share with somebody else, but reading it in print gives a bit of time to kind of reflect on someone else's experience and see how that can relate to your own as well.
And how did you go about actually getting the stories for your book? Because surely that wasn't easy.
We started off with people we knew, and then we started off with people who knew people we knew. Organisations like Stonewall, some of the gay press kind of helped us get the word out as well. And then it took on a strange life of its own where every few days somebody would email us and say, I've heard you're doing this. And what I found was interesting was people would email us and say, well, I don't suppose you'll want to hear from me because we're dads. I suppose you'll just want to hear from women. Or they'd say, I don't suppose you want to hear from me because I'm trans, and don't you just want to hear from LGB people? Or someone saying, well, I'm bi but in an opposite sex relationship, you won't want to hear from me. And we came back and said, absolutely, we want to hear from all of you, because it's the diversity and the richness of the experience that makes it so interesting and so exciting, and has been often overlooked. I think before, you've had one model of what it looks like to be a same-sex family or an LGBT family, and actually, you know, the spread is so huge.
It's fantastic. You're really breaking, you know, prejudices and creating awareness. Now, I have to ask you, because there's one question that I have absolutely go bananas when people ask me. And I have been asked this everywhere and anywhere. It could be in a playground. It could be in an airport, you know. And, you know, the usual, meet a complete stranger at the bus stop or whatever. Oh, this is my wife. This is our son. And people actually feel completely comfortable to say, oh, and how did you do that? Are we the only people to feel this, or have other people who have shared their story experienced the same kind of, suddenly you become like this, you know, this magnifying glass comes out and people think that they can ask you the most intimate question, like they're asking for the heritage of your child.
I mean, I think what struck me in terms of interviewing, because we interviewed sort of 70 people for this and talking to people, there were very few examples of like real prejudice, you know, people having really negative experiences, although there certainly were some, and those were real and those were quite disturbing. But there were more instances of exactly what you talk about, those very intrusive questions that you wouldn't ask someone in any other situation, but somehow I think kind of come out of people's mouths perhaps before they've really thought about whether that is appropriate or not. Because me and my partner, we have two children. One of us carried one of us carried the other. Like you. And people love to, you know, now they're a bit older, people will ask, you know, well, whose is whose?
Oh no.
And we're always very clear, like they're both our daughters. You know, this is not a question that
you don't have favorites. For goodness sake.
But you know, but in a way, I think these are annoying questions and they're intrusive questions. But actually, if they can be an opportunity to maybe challenge someone's prejudices or enlarge someone's mind a little bit. That doesn't mean like explaining all the gory details around your child's sort of heritage or conception, but being able perhaps to try and use those as opportunities to show that our families are just as kind of good and bad and messed up and exciting and diverse as any other family.
Fair enough, Sarah. Okay, because I sometimes, you know, use...
I don't always do that in real life, but that's what I like to think. I'm glad you said that.
No, because in fairness, I use a lot of humor sometimes because would you like me to draw you a picture?
Yeah.
It's like, did you miss that particular class in biology? You know, so no, fair enough. You're absolutely right. We have to use every opportunity because, in fairness, we are making the journey a little bit easier for families coming behind us. Now, we have run out of time. So the book, of course, is Pride and Joy, a guide for lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans parents. Thank you so much for joining us on Global Village. Where can people get the book?
You can get it from Amazon, any online booksellers. Go ask your local bookshop to stock it. But if you check out our website, which is prideandjoybook.wordpress.com, you can find out a lot more about it and how to get hold of a copy.
Brilliant. I will be reading it. And I'm sure it's one of those books that I'll dip into as our children grow older. And I suppose, I suspect when they hit the teenage years, we'll probably be, you know, it'll be well-worn.
That's the idea. There's something to kind of come back to at each stage, we hope.
Brilliant. Sarah Hagerholt, author of Pride and Joy, a guide for lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans parents. Thank you so much for joining us on Global Village.